Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with the best producer, gentleman or woman behind a microphone could ever hope for, Rosemary Brand. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. This Thursday, we are into the final day of July 2014. Hope you've had a good week and perhaps looking forward to an outstanding weekend. I hope so. Our Buckmaster Show live line is open 790-2040. Also, we invite you to become a friend of the Buckmaster Show. We're very easy to find. My name, Bill Buckmaster, and want to thank all of the folks who've been joining recently. We're up to almost 3,600 friends on Facebook of the Buckmaster Show, so we're proud of that. Let's welcome now Dr. Ann Weaver Hart, University of Arizona President. Dr. Hart, good to see you.
Great to be back, Bill. Thank you.
This month, marking your two-year anniversary as the University of Arizona's 21st president and its first woman top executive, Dr. Hart, how do you assess your first 24 months on the job?
Well, I think it's been a time of getting to understand the tremendous challenges that we face to envision a premier research public university into the future. And in particular, as I said when I began 2 years ago, the challenges that we face as a potential leader in academic medicine and in making sure that our two medical schools are very successful going forward is a challenge that is nationwide, but particularly difficult in medical schools that are severely under-resourced. And that's been one of the areas in which I have focused a great deal of my effort. It's also true that with the big budget cuts that the University of Arizona has received, and the decline in funding per student from more than $13,000 per year to less than $6,500 has created an environment in which we have to re-envision the way we structure ourselves, the discipline and responsibility that we impose on ourselves as we make really hard decisions. And so I would characterize it as a time of tough decisions and positioning us for the future. I'm thrilled that we were able as a community and with the leadership of the Strategic Planning and Budget Advisory Committee to spend time together envisioning that future, establishing the Never Settle Plan, developing a business plan that will require a lot of discipline and hard choices, and that we're moving forward to try and create that future.
The partnership between Phoenix-based Banner Health and the nonprofit that runs the University of Arizona Medical Center and its health network will revamp the state's health system and the quality of care. This is a very big deal. The Arizona Republic editorial recently actually characterized the deal as a godsend for the university.
Absolutely. And for the city of Tucson, when we finalize this deal, we envision about $1 billion of direct investment in Tucson as part of Banner's commitment to our College of Medicine here and to the facilities our community members will have access to and our physician leaders will be able to be a part of moving forward. It will have a tremendous impact, and already has, by the way, on our ability to continue to attract world-class leaders in medical education and research and clinical care. So I really think it will be a tremendous opportunity. Not to mention, and I'm sure Phoenix cares about this, our College of Medicine Phoenix doesn't even have a clinical partner, and all medical schools rely on complete synergy with their clinical partners in order to receive financial support for the education and research missions of the medical school, as well as to advance the very best application of research to practice in clinical care.
Banner Good Samaritan Medical Center will become the teaching hospital for the university's Phoenix campus. UA is among now the few universities, Dr. Hart, operating two medical schools.
Well, we might be the only one whose medical schools are completely separate and accredited as independent schools. The The president of the American Association of Medical Colleges tells me that we are, but I've heard of a couple of other ones, so I guess it depends on how you characterize it, but we definitely are unique in that sense.
Now, under the preliminary agreement, Banner would pay off the health network's debt of $146 million, pledge $500 million, that's a $500 million, to expand and renovate the UA Medical Center and create a $300 million endowment that will spin off $20 million a year to the medical center.
Absolutely. And in fact, that $20 million goes to the medical schools as direct financial support for research and education, and is spendable at the sole discretion of our Senior Vice President for Health Sciences. We don't have that now. This will be a game changer for us. And that is guaranteed for 30 years.
So there's some confusion, though, whenever there's a big deal like this and money is thrown around and a lot of big numbers are thrown around. The bottom line is you did not sell off the medical school.
Oh, my goodness, no.
No.
In fact, our two medical schools remain two of the formal colleges at the university, completely under the authority of the university and the governance of the Board of Regents. We are finalizing an affiliation agreement with Banner, but we retain full and absolute authority over faculty hiring and firing, over faculty promotion. The faculty will be dual employed because their clinical work will be compensated by Banner, but they are currently dual employed. And it is very important for people to know that the colleges of medicine are UA colleges of medicine, and no governance interference will be tolerated.
So that's not going to, that will not change.
That will not change.
The influence, the sphere of influence is still the University of Arizona.
Absolutely. The difference being that our faculty who specialize in very, very unique and exotic specialties and need large populations in order to do world-class work will have now access to the statewide network created by our two academic teaching hospitals and our clinical partner.
All right, let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Christopher has a question for the president of the University of Arizona. Go ahead, Christopher. You're with Ann Weaver Hart.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Hart, for taking my question. And it's essentially that Tucson has always kind of had the view of being the redheaded stepchild of Phoenix. And for good or for bad, it's just the reality. My question to you is, with this Banner deal and UAMC, what assurances are made that top physicians, i.e. surgeons and so forth, name brand surgeons like LaMole and so on, what assurances do we have as a community that they will stay here in Tucson and not lead up to Phoenix over time, and to keep the research here in Tucson versus bleeding up to Phoenix in over time?
Okay.
I think UAMC was something so unique, and the medical school was something so unique to Tucson that it really helped separate us from Phoenix.
All right.
So what assurances do we have?
Thank you, Christopher.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. I've always loved redheads. But that's a very fair question, and in fact was the first question that the media asked at our press conference following the signing of our principles of affiliation. It is important to remember that Banner has a really important financial stake in the prosperity and status of Tucson once they throw $1 billion our way. I mean, they have a vested business interest in us being leaders in nationally and very, very successful. And so remember, it would be stupid of them not to push Tucson and its success. It's also important to know that while our College of Medicine, great work is done there, we have underinvested in our College of Medicine Tucson for so long that our national ranking has slipped to 70th out of 120 medical schools in the nation. So we have slipped to the bottom of the third quartile because of our failure to invest. We have a tiny Department of Medicine staff, a fraction of the size of the best ranked medical schools. We have a huge investment that needs to be made. And Dr. Chris Garcia, who is a national leader in research, but also in advancing world-class clinical care, has already recruited a tremendous number of world-class physicians to Tucson and the College of Medicine Tucson because of their confidence in a brighter future.
All right, Rose, why don't we take the break right here with Dr. Ann Weaver Hart, our first break of the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Hart has graciously accepted our invitation to stick around for segment number two. We'll be back right after this.
Stop it!
Is your dog out of control, dragging you on walks, chewing furniture, barking, or even biting? With over 40 years' experience, Dog Masters Training can train you to provide the proper leadership your dog is waiting for. From basic obedience to walking on a lead, leash aggression to socialization, Dog Masters Training, because if you don't take control, your dog will. Visit our website, dogmasterstraining.com, or call 977-5965.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Munger Chadwick are Arizona's business lawyers. Helping Arizona businesses for 40 years, Munger Chadwick is a strategic partner for many businesses operating in Arizona, the Southwest, Mexico, and globally. AV rated and ranked with the best lawyers of America, Munger Chadwick has recognized knowledge in all areas of business law, including corporate real estate, mergers, acquisition, employment, along with intellectual property and administrative law, and international trade, immigration, and government affairs. In matters involving disputes, Munger Chadwick takes pride in working with its clients creatively and aggressively, often resolving problems in ways that prevent or avoid litigation. Munger Chadwick, located in Tucson, Phoenix, and Tubac, business know-how with personal service. Visit MungerChadwick.com or call 721-1900. Pushing toward 12:20 now on The Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow on our Friday Focus interview, a human rights activist, the Reverend John Fife, will be joining us on the Friday Focus interview. But right now, it's part two of our discussion with University of Arizona President Dr. Ann Weaver Hart. Dr. Hart will be moving into those new offices. You told us, I think we were some of the first to know here on The Buckmaster Show, when you announced this remodeling last year of Old Main, and now it's coming to fruition.
It absolutely is. Before I was appointed, the leaders at the U of A recognized that Old Main, which is the first building ever built for the University of Arizona, and everything was there, including the students' dorms, the president's office, the classrooms. We've got photographs of old biology classrooms with human skeletons sitting in chairs. It was quite a place, and the veranda had been condemned by the building inspector. The foundation doesn't exist. It was built with only stones and hard packed earth, and that was collapsing, which would have collapsed the building. The roof was collapsing, and we learned after the renewal was started that the floor between the first and second stories was in danger of collapsing because the structural engineering did not account for the final decision to use dirt, 9 inches of dirt, as insulation between the two floors. And we were told by the structural engineers that we were fortunate no one was hurt.
Well, the whole building could have been lost eventually.
Absolutely, and the collapse of the floors would have killed people.
Yeah.
So that decision had been made before I arrived. The chairman of the Board of Regents and several members of the board suggested that it would be a perfect time, since we were already going to renew and restore Old Main, that the president's office be moved back. So that is what I did at their suggestion. But the president's office is actually a very small part of the building and a very, very small part of the renewal. We have restored the second floor, the original transept. The ceilings have gone back. You can now see the skylights that have been covered. We fixed the collapsing floor, thank goodness. And we have a wonderful conference center with a catering kitchen that will be available for meetings throughout the university and in the community that can accommodate groups of people, catering and food. It's just
more
wonderful.
Of a really university community center.
Absolutely, and a boardroom.
Yeah,
that people can use and that our regents can use when they're on campus. And I would just encourage everyone, if they get a chance, to attend the series of open houses we're going to have, and to find out how to use the Silver and Sage Room for important events, because this is a classic frontier building.
Silver and Sage, the original colors of the University of Arizona. Now those colors are very fashionable, too. I mean,
but they aren't fierce.
There you go.
So it's a little tough for football teams.
You know, everybody's talking about trying to better our economy in Tucson. I keep hearing wonderful things about Tech Launch Arizona, which is trying to commercialize UA research.
Absolutely. You know, I'm very fortunate that Gene Sander and others at the university had envisioned a change in the way in which we managed our technology transfer. And so I was able to hire David Allen right at the beginning of my presidency, and David has been a tremendous leader in helping us to refocus the development of new businesses, the development of patents, getting great ideas out in the marketplace and licensed, helping faculty who are fantastic researchers, but obviously starting new businesses is not their thing, and getting partnerships together. So we recognized before I arrived and under Jean's leadership that something had to be done. And fortunately, it was teed up for me to be able to recruit David. But others set the stage, and there are dreams and hopes of many, many people at the university who are a part of this.
We're going to be starting a new semester, believe it or not, I think, what, a few weeks now,
In August, yes.
I mean, it's been a tough sledding economically for the University of Arizona. Really, this has been going on for years.
It really has. And I know that there were many people in the United States, and certainly we are no exception, who believed that the Great Recession was going to be like post-World War II recent recessions had been, a matter of a few years, maybe some temporary belt tightening, some deferred decisions on spending, and then it would all be okay again. And instead, what happened was that the economy recovery has been very, very slow. As everyone knows, the Arizona legislature has huge challenges financially. And as I said at the beginning of your show, the state's contribution to higher education has dropped dramatically. In the meantime, we have made up part of that with student tuition, and pressure on tuition is huge. Now, every financial decision we make is a decision about, to a large extent, the money students and their families are putting together to try and pay tuition. It puts a very different ethical and psychological environment around our financial decisions when we recognize how much of that decision-making will have an impact on what students pay.
The financial picture really is paramount, isn't it, going into
it
this?
It absolutely is. But we've saved lots of money on efficiencies, we're going to have to continue to do more to learn how to do our business better for less cost. We are at a point where what every not-for-profit and for-profit entity in the entire country has to pay attention to every day, being more effective but spending less money to be effective.
And you've been looking at just about every department on campus.
Every department has been affected. Mm-hmm. And some have not yet accomplished those efficiencies and faced that financial reality. And one of the toughest things that's happening as we implement Never Settle and work toward building a shared community economy is folding everyone into that belt tightening.
Yeah, and it's and that can be very unpopular.
It is unpopular.
It is unpopular. Yes,
yeah, indeed. Yeah. The community everyone will never be happy, mm-hmm, with anything we do. And the university can't stop as a community trying to envision a better future for all of us if we're looking for unanimous support for every decision we make.
And you hear about, well, the athletics are getting all this money, but people don't understand the athletics are paying for themselves, pretty much.
Absolutely. We're one of a handful of universities in the country, mm-hmm, that has a self-sustaining athletics department. And what's more, the athletics department stepped up, and they were the very, very first to get together the financing under the new requirements, which is all private financing that were in the business plan for the project had to be cash on hand or bankable pledges. And the McHale project currently being completed was the first one on campus that exercised that discipline. And under Greg Burns' leadership and the support of our donors, we were able to meet that new standard.
Because people point out, well, look at the cost and the coaches, they make so much money, but a lot of that is not coming out of state funding or
a lot of that is actually self-supporting within the budget of the athletics department, which is self-supporting. And I was able recently, with the help of an incredible donor to develop a retention incentive that is the equivalent of golden handshakes for our very top athletic leaders and coaches, including Greg Byrne, who is invaluable as a leader at the university.
Well, you've certainly made changes. And again, as you say, change can be very difficult for people.
It is. And I know that there is no way that everyone is going to agree with everything we have to do. And it's important for me to be able to work with our leaders, the Board of Regents, who have given us a mandate and charges for what they expect our performance measures to be. And we all need to work together, even if we don't always agree with every final decision that's made.
All right, Dr. Ann Weaver-Hart, thank you very much. School starting very soon. Enrollment will be about where?
Well, we actually have a tremendously successful and large entering class at the university. So our freshman enrollment is up. Our out-of-state freshman enrollment is up. Our diversity is still over 40% in the entering freshman class. So we're incredibly proud of that growth. And we don't want to grow too fast, but it's nice to know that there are still young men and women all over the world who see the University of Arizona as a bargain. We were just named by Money Magazine as one of the top 25 schools in America that you can actually have some hope of getting into, and one of the top 100 in America in overall quality by Money Magazine. So I think that the economies that we have committed to and the decisions of the past make that possible.
Okay, Dr. Hart, thank you very much. Good luck with the new semester. We'll see you in the fall. Thank you.
Thank you again. I enjoy this so much.
Thank you very much. We'll be right back. The mid-break here on The Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Beat the heat and get back down to earth in the cool mountain air at the 2014 Silver City, New Mexico Clay Festival, the weekend of August 1st. Whether you are a seasoned clay artist or want to get your hands dirty for the first time, you'll be right at home at the Silver City Clay Festival. Enjoy a variety of workshops, demonstrations, lectures on everything from using clay in construction to contemporary ceramics. Take home a work of art or a book or two from the clay market. The Clay Festival also offers tours of a handmade tile factory, a gala reception, live music, juried exhibitions, and more. The Silver City Clay Festival is a Silver City Arts and Cultural District signature event the weekend of August 1st in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. For more information, go to clayfestival.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you landed 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Tesla Motors receiving a $3 billion building permit for construction of a battery assembly plant in Tucson. This will be a one-story building up to 5 million square feet in size at an address to be determined. The City of Tucson Development Services Department issued that permit. Let's go to the live line right now. Hank Amos is with us, president of Tucson Realty and Trust. Hank is somewhere in Idaho, driving back to Tucson from Idaho. Hank, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Doing well. Hank, what do you think of this? Is this a good move by the city's part, even though, of course, Tesla hasn't decided where they're going to move their factory?
Yes, I think it's a good move because one of the things that was important for Tesla is that they had their building permits taken care of, because one of the things they wanted to do was to make sure that when they made their announcement, they can start construction immediately. And some of the communities that they're looking at, like in California, that, you know, it could be rigorous and a little bit arduous to kind of get your building permit. So, you know, the nice thing is that that was important to them. That's one piece of the puzzle that's taken care of. And they can concentrate on other things. So I think it was smart for Tucson to kind of get ahead of the curve, take care of that issue that was important for Tesla, and help position Tucson more favorably amongst the other communities that they're looking at.
Hank, how big a deal is a 5 million square foot? It seems like a huge facility. Can you kind of put that into perspective for my listeners?
Well, it will be one of the largest facilities in the United States, and the move for Tucson is going to be the equivalent of when IBM came to Tucson. So it'd be a great shot in the arm. My understanding right now is that Tucson is in the running, like one of the top favorites. So we have a lot of good things going for us that kind of give us an advantage, and it'd be something that Tucson much needed. It would give us that business velocity and vitality that we've talked about before that Tucson's kind of lacking right now. It'd be a great shot in the arm for us.
So now the red tape, in effect, has already been taken care of with this building permit, so they'd be able to move, pretty much break ground and get right at it, correct?
Exactly. That's exactly right. So their thing was that they, excuse me for the noise there, their thing was that that was important to them is when they made their announcement, that they can start construction and get on it immediately.
Hank, I'm going to let you go pretty soon here because I know the signal's kind of starting to kind of come in and out. You're in a very remote area of Idaho, but while you were away, the modern streetcar was dedicated in downtown Tucson. How do you gauge that as a, what kind of shot in the arm is this going to be for Tucson, Hank Amos?
Well, I think, you know, it's just one of those things that kind of makes Tucson a little bit more attractive, gives a little bit more buzz, gives a little bit more panache. You know, our downtown is one of the few areas that's kind of really on fire right now, and it's just been growing by leaps and bounds, and we've talked about that too before in the past. And the streetcar is just another added benefit, you know, for the community, especially downtown, and you know, bringing more vitality down there and helping the businesses and all, and the connection to the University of Arizona, helping bring in those residents and students into the area works really well. So, you know, some good things happening with Tucson, the downtown area, the streetcar, and if we can get Tesla and make that announcement, you know, we're back in the, you know, we're back going again. So, you know, hopefully everything works out well for us.
Hank Amos, thank you very much. Have a safe journey home, Hank. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. That's Hank Amos, president of Tucson Realty and Trust, with us on the Buckmaster Show live line, calling in from somewhere in Idaho. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is brought to you by the upcoming, this weekend, the Silver City 2014 Silver City, New Mexico Clay Festival. It is only 3 hours east of Tucson to the cool mountain air of Silver City, where you can enjoy a variety of workshops, demonstrations, lectures on everything using clay in construction to contemporary ceramics. It's a big event. It's kind of the signature event for the Silver City Cultural District. I strongly suggest, if possible, a trip over to Silver City. You can find out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico on their fine website, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org, with the great places to stay like Bear Creek Cabins and Little Toad Creek Inn. Be right back.
Do you have flood or fire damage to your home?
Floods and fires can attract termites to the home and destroy pest prevention measures. Five Star Termite and Pest Control has a comprehensive treatment plan to protect your refurbished home. Five Star treats the building materials of the home not once, but twice. You can have Five Star's most thorough treatment protecting your home, and your homeowner's insurance covers it.
So before your restoration begins, call Five Star Termite and Pest Control, 886-0045.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Whether you shower, clean, or drink it, you will come in contact with water every day. So the question is, how often do you think about what's in your water, and how is your water affecting you and your loved ones? The fact is, there are likely contaminants in your water that will have an effect on the taste and smell of the water, not to mention why water is chlorinated. The good news is that Culligan has a solution. The Culligan AC30 reverse osmosis drinking water system is the powerful solution for filtering out impurities that affect your water. This state-of-the-art solution reduces chlorine and other contaminants that affect the taste and smell of your water. Of course, some contaminants may not be in your water. Why not take your drinking water to the next level with a Culligan drinking water system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months service on an annual rental agreement? Call 792-9700 for details. That's 792-9700, or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12, pushing toward 12:46 on this Thursday afternoon. It is the first day of class at Tucson Unified School District, and Cam Juarez is with us, TUSD board member. Cam, how are you, my friend?
I'm well, Bill. How about yourself?
Doing well. How are things going this opening day? Do we have enough teachers to fill all the classrooms?
You know, this morning, my wife and I drove our son to his first day of kinder. Technically, this would be his third year in TUSD, as he attended our early learning centers. So, class of 2020. So, while we were down there, we of course were talking to the teachers and the principal, got him off to class, and then went off to a couple more schools to look at. And one of the schools I visited was Tucson High, one of our largest high schools. And of course, you know, the principal, our new principal there, Dr. Green, was running around trying to make sure that we had enough substitutes for tomorrow. There was some issues with the scheduling, as we expected, because of the reduction in class size. And we knew there was going to be some adjustments that were being made. But we have some substitutes that are in today and will be in tomorrow. And then the weekend will give us some time to make sure that we continue our interviews. We're still interviewing for some of those positions. So we absolutely do not have any empty classrooms with no one there for our students. But the adjustments were expected. And I think I would say it's growing pains, but it's really quite the opposite. We're shrinking our class sizes, and as was reported, that would be an issue that we would deal with. But it's really a problem we want to have, because our enrollment, I think, is going to increase. I mean, in my son's classroom, we only had 20 kindergartners, which is a dramatic change from some classes, not just in our district, but in other districts, with upwards of 25 and 30 kids. So, we definitely have enough teachers, but we would certainly prefer to have permanent teachers as opposed to some of the substitutes. I mean, the subs are great, and we really appreciate having them, but we want to make sure that there's some consistency in those classes, which, of course, is what has been reported in the news.
Yeah, and I think the Arizona Daily Star, is reporting today 125 vacant positions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does that, on the face of it, it seems like that's quite a few, but that's nothing that you were not expecting, Cam.
No. I mean, when you look at the districts by size, I think the number of vacant positions are pretty congruent. With Sunnyside, I think they had something like 80. So with some of the smaller districts, of course, are going to have fewer vacancies. But, you know, we're dealing with it. We have some very qualified substitute teachers, holding it down until we can fill those positions permanently. You know, there's the issue of making sure that we're hiring qualified and really just quality teachers, and that's primarily why I think we still have that. I mean, the other issue here to recall is that we didn't issue any pink slips this year, and, mm-hmm. and that was that really made this part of the job a little easier, because we I think in years past we have had more vacancies than we had today.
Cam Juarez is with us. Mr. Juarez, a member of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. We can take a couple of questions. 790-2040, 790-2040. If any of our listeners have any education or TUSD-related questions, Cam would be very happy to answer or comment on that. Sure. We had Dr. Sanchez on the show recently, and he was talking about the unveiling of the five-year plan. Mm-hmm. Do you like the five-year plan? How does the board feel about it?
You know, for the most part, I think the board is very supportive. I mean, obviously, we had a 5-0 vote, and there were some questions about how the plan was put together. But my argument, to those concerns would be the 5-year plan. As an urban planner myself, I look at these plans quite a bit and have learned about them, you know, in my studies and in my experience. But this plan, really the most important piece of it is that a large part of the group that put this together were community members. There was definitely some staff members there that have children in our district and obviously have a vested interest in making sure this works. But the plan addresses every one of the issues that we needed to address, from the unitary status plan to the magnet schools issue to the reduction in classroom size. These are all very important things that we need to talk about. But I think one of the things I think would be most beneficial is that the magnet schools, for example, are going to be a contentious issue and have been. And this plan addresses that, whether we're talking about equitable access to quality education, equitable access to our advanced learning experiences. So those are all things I think need to be addressed. The other thing that it addresses is, how are we going to increase enrollment? How are we going to increase the marketability of our district? Our district has, you know, time and again, every time there's a story in the paper or on TV, there's always some sort of negative connotation to it. And I think that in the last 2 years, we've seen, really in the last year and a half, we've seen these changes, these very positive changes that are happening under the leadership of Ms. Grijalva and with our new superintendent. But I think more importantly, what I like about the plan is that and I said this at the meeting, the plan, as ambitious as it is, it doesn't fall on the shoulders of Dr. Sanchez or the board alone. It falls on the entire district as a whole, and the district's working as a team. And so it's certainly very, these are very attainable goals, and there's a schedule in place. It's really very well organized. So in terms of some of those concerns that we haven't seen the plan, we don't know the plan well enough, the plan has been made public for over a month now. And so people, you know, can get online, can get hard copies. We can certainly talk about the details of the plan, and we will. But the deal with it is that these are primary headings on a big agenda, and everything that fills in those under those headings is something that we're going to be adjusting, not only with our individual school sites, but also with our community members, both that have participated and hopefully that will participate. I think really it's about a collective force that will make this plan not only executable but successful.
Well, there's so much, and you pointed out that every time there's bad publicity about TUSD, and there's not been a shortage of that, as you know, I mean, it does, that has to hurt enrollment, Cam Juarez, doesn't it?
You know, this is the deal. I think when we look at it demographically, In recent history, we have seen a move of $4.4 million from the central offices out to the individual sites. That number one is huge for our district because we're always talking about per pupil spending. So when we talk about enrollment's not going to magically change because, you know, all of a sudden we got a new superintendent. The proof is going to be in the pudding. And anyone that took their child to school this morning, whether they're younger or maybe they went, they had kids with special needs, or maybe they're just really attached parents and they took their high schoolers to Tucson High or Pueblo or Catalina or Sabino, would have noticed if they walked the halls a little bit that our classroom sizes have been reduced and the teachers went right to work. And so the idea then is that enrollment's it's not going to be magically fixed because we want it to. We really have to just change the culture and the climate at our individual sites, and that's happening. So I think if you put out a good product, eventually people will start coming. We have people coming in from out of district. This morning I was talking to some parents that had just moved into TUSD, and I said, well, you know, what part of the country did you move from? And they said, we didn't move from any other part in the country. We live here in Tucson. We just came from Cat Foothills. And that's huge because it's part of it is word of mouth. Part of it is also, again, if you have a better product, and that's what we're working towards, and that's what this five-year plan is about, more people will come back to Tucson or will come to Tucson, will choose Tucson Unified as their choice instead of somewhere else. And I think the more we can focus on improving our product, the better enrollment will be.
So are you saying you ran into somebody today who said they were the parents had the kids up in the foothills,
yep,
and now they decided to come to the TUSD district?
Yep. And really what that entails is, and then I asked her, I said, well, you know, may I ask, well, you know, why you made the choice? I said, I'm elated that you're here, but may I ask why you made the choice? And her exact words were, you know, Cat Foothills just wasn't the right district for my child. And so I'm glad that they chose TUSD. They live within our boundaries, but I think one of the spouses was working up in that area, and so it was convenient for them to drive up with the parent. But, you know, this isn't really about what is the best district, or what is, you know, that all our schools are great. I mean, I think they all are. And there's always room for improvement, of course. But really what it comes down to is, what is the best school for your child? And that's what we're trying to create here in TUSD. And I think, you know, we've seen it embodied in the five-year strategic plan, but we also see it in how we're all kind of working together, but we're leaving enough flexibility at the individual sites for those individual administrators to make the right calls for their student bodies. And I think that's ultimately what it entails to make a good product. You have to be firm at the top and then loose at the bottom so that folks can use their creativity and their individual knowledge of their sites to make it work. And I think that's where superintendent and his team's doing. I think our board can understand that, and we're being supportive of that.
Well, Cam Juarez, I can't ever remember school starting in July. How did this come about? My goodness.
Well, I mean, TUSD, for as far as I can tell, had never had really a fall break. And, you know, we see a lot of studies out there show that you know, students do perform a little better if they have those regular breaks. So, you know, we've had rodeo days in the spring, and we have a lot of individual, you know, holidays or days that the kids are not in school. And so in order to incorporate not only the fall break, we also want to make sure we are allocating enough time for instructional time. So that's why we started a little earlier. I mean, Vail started, I think, a week before we did, and all the different districts really are starting at different times. I think Sunnyside is either right before or right after us. I think we just wanted to ensure that there was enough instructional time. Much like my child started in TUSD 2 years before he actually started kinder, it really just helps improve the performance and really the achievement of our students. So it is hot, and certainly walking the halls of one of our magnet schools downtown, I could feel that. Luckily, our individual classrooms are very cool, and there's plenty of water for the kids to drink. So luckily, it hasn't been that hot, so I'm okay as a first time, well, not really a first time, but as a TUSD parent, I'm okay with school starting a little earlier. I had my little guy with me for a few days, because his preschool let out a little earlier. So I got to tell you, I'm kind of glad that he was able to get back to school. he needed the structure for sure.
Well, it doesn't really matter when it is. When it's first day of school, it's excitement. If it's July or whenever it is,
right.
Kids are really excited. Cam Juarez, thank you for giving us an update about the first day of school at TUSD.
Thank you, Bill.
All the best to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And if you got photos of your kids' first day of school and within TUSD, please send them to our website, or Channel 9 is also putting some of those pictures up if you're willing to share. Thanks again, Bill. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Cam Juarez, TUSD, governing board member, and there's always a lot of excitement with the first day of school, especially for the little ones. I certainly remember, it was a long time ago, but remember how I was always so excited about that first day of school. Anyway, tomorrow we've got our Friday Focus interview. The legendary Reverend John Fife will be joining us in studio for the Friday Focus interview. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Thank you, Culligan, for giving all of our in-studio guests a nice chilled bottle of your water. Everybody enjoys it, and we thank you for your support. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Shaw hosts 4 Tucson at 4 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 with Chris and Joe. Then the Daily Double with Chris DeSimone from 8 to 9. Then Rosemary Brandt, producer, me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you for our Friday Focus interview and our roundtable. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.